Hey, gang! Letting the music play a little longer than usual. This is Patrick Slattery. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is your source for trustworthy news and information. It is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017, the day before Thanksgiving. And we have a lot to be thankful for, but we also have some things we are looking forward to changing. I will be taking callers this hour. It is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. I'm thankful for having this show on RBN. Thankful for the opportunity to talk to the RBN listeners every day at this time slot. This is a wonderful opportunity. Thankful for being healthy. Thankful for being who I am. I'm not trying to brag, but I think we should be thankful for who we are. Things could be a lot worse, but we do have trouble, and we do have a responsibility to try to make things better because, you know, Thanksgiving's the day for being thankful, and we do have to appreciate what we have. But at the same time, how many of you wake up and say, where are we going, and what are we doing in this handbasket? I know I do. And we are in a handbasket. Things are, a huge amount of damage is being done to our society and done to our people. But we do have the strength to overcome it. So we can be thankful for our strength, but we've got to wake up. There is an interesting piece of news today. I saw it on CNN, but it's out there. I saw it in a CNN article. I don't know if they've really covered it, but it's on this Justice Department investigation of Harvard University for their possibly discriminatory practices involving affirmative action. Where are they going to go with this? What are they going to do? You know, on the show yesterday, I talked about the Jewish talent for turning lemons into lemonade. Gave the example of what Tablet Magazine described as the particularly Jewish or particularly Jewy perviness of Harvey Weinstein, and you know how what he was doing in Hollywood wasn't simply because he was horny; he was trying to seek revenge on the goyim. This is not me saying it. This is Tablet Magazine, the Jewish author in Tablet Magazine. And rather than having this be the start of a great awakening towards Jewish malfeasance in Hollywood, in the media, in academia, in politics, in finance, instead of that, it's become the great awakening towards male sexual mispractice. So they've turned it from a Jewish thing into a man thing. I gave some other examples too, including the 1965 Immigration Act, things that might have been setbacks for Jews, and they were able to exploit the opportunities and capitalize on them. So what about this suit? I'm going to be reading more from a letter by the Justice Department to Harvard later on. But so what's going on there? What we know is that we know this from Ron Unce's study that was published in the American Conservative, which is his website, but he did a very extensive study on the admissions practices at the Ivy League schools and other elite universities. He went beyond the Ivy League, but he has great data. And, you know, I've done a study of it too. Mine didn't go as deep as his. Mine just looked at admissions, who's, you know, you can look at the admissions. Take Harvard, for instance. The provost office publishes data on the racial breakdown of people who are admitted. But it doesn't break down, it doesn't distinguish between Jews and non-Jewish whites. However, Harvard has a Hillel Association, the Hillel Jewish Association, Jewish Students Association, as does practically every other university in the United States. And Hillel does keep track of how many are Jews. And I think it's trustworthy. They care about this. They want the Jews to know how many Jews are at schools and how, you know, they want them to network. This is what they're all about. This is networking. And so combining the Hillel Association data with the provost data, you can break it down along racial and ethnic lines and include Jews, separate Jews from non-Jewish whites. And when you do this, you see at Harvard and so many of the other schools, in my study, I think I was using 2010 figures, and if anything, it's gotten worse since then, you see that Jews are the single largest group, and at Harvard you were talking about, say, 25%, and non-Jewish whites about 19%, and Asians about 16%, and Hispanics maybe 8%, and Black 7%, and then you had some others, and you had some mixed race, and you had a fair amount of foreigners, because these percentages just talk about Americans, so they're not even talking about Asians from Asia, but just Asian Americans. And you can then compare that to the 2010 census data and say, well, according to their population, Jews were overrepresented by, what was it? It was by 14 times, and whites are underrepresented by a factor of such and such. They were, you know, if there's over 60% of the population and under 20% of the student body, so they're underrepresented by a factor of more than three. You can see this. Now, what Ron Unz did, he went beyond that, and he looked at measures, and this took a lot of work, a great deal of work, but he looked at measures of qualification. He looked at National Merit Scholarship semifinalist data and was able to you know, break that down. He looked at, I guess it's called the Math Olympiad and the Science Olympiad, and other measures of qualification that, you know, that you can find for people in their late teens who would be applying to college. And he found that, you know, while Jews might say, yes, we're overrepresented, but that's because we're so smart, he was able to find that, well, no, I mean, like, compared, if just based on population and demographic data alone, if you're not looking at qualification, if Jews are 14 times overrepresented and whites are underrepresented by a factor of three, then do the math. Compared to whites, Jews are overrepresented by 3 times 14, by 42. They're 42 times more likely to get into Harvard than a non-Jewish white. That's what the data revealed. Now, they will say, well, they'll say, well, we're more qualified, we're smarter. But you go to Ron Unz's data, which looks at all this and says, okay, Jews might be relatively high performing, but that only explains it down to Jews are, you know, 15 or 16 times as likely to get into Harvard as a similarly qualified white. And this is from Ron Unz. So this potential, well, this investigation and perhaps a lawsuit, but this investigation of Harvard by the Justice Department is significant. But the way it is being looked at is not discrimination against non-Jewish whites. It's being looked at in discrimination against Asians. And Actually, if you compare Asians to non-Jewish whites, Asians are less discriminated against than non-Jewish whites. The only way, and Ron Hunts points this out, the only way that Asians can actually claim discrimination is if you mix Jews in with non-Jewish whites. And this is what they do all the time. This is the whole essence of the Jewish ability. I mean, Ron Hunt says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to suppress the discussion of Jewish power. Now, I mean, I agree with that, but there's this other dimension. The Jewish ability to dominate white societies is based on the Jewish ability to identify each other without being identified by the other, by the host population. So Jews know who each other are, and the host population cannot distinguish between Jews and non-Jews. And this is where their power is. And this is why they have come to dominate directly the United States and Canada and Australia and Great Britain and France and so many other countries, but especially those countries I named, those big Anglo countries plus France, but especially America. I mean, in England, so many of the Jews actually are identifiable because they're Orthodox, but there are those who aren't. But especially in America, this is the seat of Jewish power, not Israel. America is. They can do it. Why can't they dominate China? Because they don't look Chinese. They could do this in Russia. And there is a lot of Jewish power still in Russia, but there was an absolute Jewish tyranny in the 1990s. They get away with this because, as Jared Taylor says, they look white to me. And that's the issue. So, regarding Harvard, so this could be spun, just like they spun Harvey Weinstein into, it's not, a Jewish scandal, Jewish perviness. It's not Jewish revenge against the Goyim. It's not a Jewish attack against the Goyim. It's a male attack against females. So they reframed it. And so what they're going to try to do, and they did this with Elena Kagan. I wrote an article on this. And Elena Kagan, when she had been appointed by Obama to be a Supreme Court justice, there were people of color. There were professors of color from some second-tier schools, good schools, but not Ivy League, in, I think, University of North Carolina and elsewhere, blacks, Hispanics, who protested because Elena Kagan didn't hire enough people of color while she was at Harvard. Well, I actually went and researched. This whole debate went on. They said, you know, she hired 29 professors and only one was a person of color and blah, blah, blah. And I was very suspicious and I couldn't find a list of who she hired. So I went and I looked. I could find the list of who was on the faculty, who were the tenure track people on the faculty when she became the dean of Harvard Law School. And then who was on the faculty when she left. And by adding and subtracting, I was able to find out who she actually hired and went through the names one by one and looked through the – and this was several years ago, 7 years ago maybe. And it was a lot of legwork, but I found that, yeah, indeed, half of these Hoites were Jews, more than half actually. And plus a couple who were whites, but they were married to Jews. And that one non-white, that one Asian, was married to a Jew. So but the way the Jewish media spun it, I saw this on Democracy Now!, which is a Jewish, hosted by the Jew Amy Goodman, and it was spun as whites oppressing non-whites. Whites discriminating against non-whites. It was white privilege, when in fact it was Jewish privilege. And non-Jewish whites were hired at a rate below their share of the population, well below their share of qualified potential applicants. So discrimination against whites was spun as white privilege. And so when you're looking at the Harvard University, not just the law school, but the or in the law school faculty, but the entire student body, this is the danger. There is massive discrimination against non-Jewish whites at Harvard, and there's massive preference and privilege for Jews. But the Jews are going to put on their little magic yarmulkes and disappear in a puff of white smoke and claim to be white, and they are going to try to spin this as evil white racists repressing Asians. That's what they're going to try to do. And Jared Taylor cannot argue our case for us because he's afraid to mention the word Jew unless he's saying something positive about them. We've got to be able to say, look, distinguish between Jews and non-Jews, and it's not even Asians who are the victims of the discrimination. It is non-Jewish whites. So this is not whites repressing Asians. This is Jews repressing non-Jewish whites. Asians might be held down to an extent, but in the big picture of things, not so much. To an extent, it's whites that are being repressed at Harvard. It's whites that are being discriminated against. So this is something that we have to be very careful of, because, like I said on the show yesterday, Jews are very good at turning. When I say Jews, the Jewish power structure, which is huge. It includes a lot of Jews and includes some non-Jews, but they're very good at turning lemons into lemonade. They're very good at turning Harvey Weinstein. They convert him from being a Jew to being a white man. And, you know, next thing you know, you see these people like Michael Moore, who's not Jewish, but is such a tool. Michael Moore responding to Harvey Weinstein by saying, oh, this is an opportunity to smash white male patriarchy once and for all. I'll let that sink in for a second. So it's a big story. It's something that we've been talking about for years, and it's an outrage. And now we have a Justice Department that's snooping around, that's looking into this, and they have been trying to get Harvard to supply documentation for their admissions practices, which they're obligated to. They're obligated under Title VI of some relevant law, Title VI, or like Chapter VI, whatever it is. And they have not produced the documents, and instead they write these letters. They're trying to do, you know, there are a lot of Jewish lawyers at Harvard, yes, you can believe, and so they're responding to letters they're responding to the Justice Department requests without supplying the information that they're requesting, and they're just trying to drag their feet. We'll see what happens. We'll see if we get media attention on this, because this could blow up, and when it blows up, we've got to make sure that the Jews don't get to control it and make it a controlled implosion. We've got to make sure that this is something that's going to wake people up and not be used against us. We have to be on our feet, and we have to be able to actually use the word Jews. We have to say that this is a Jewish thing, and we have to say it in a way that we're not going to be immediately dismissed. We will be back after the break.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show. You know, during the break, I pulled up that CNN article that actually reprinted the letter from the Justice Department I wanted to read from. CNN's got such an evil website. It just starts popping up all of these sound files and crashing your system. So at any rate, I will not read from that, at least not yet. But I will go to Paul in New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
How are you today?
Good. Patrick, you were remarking about one of the causes why we have this habit of always either deferring to Jews or putting Jews above us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the problems is when, you know, on our major religion of Europe is imported from Israel. Every Christmas, everybody gathers around, and what do? They revere the birth of a Jewish child, a Jewish son of God. And so that alone, if that's your foundation, you already are off in left field. You know, it's already a failure from there. And I tell you, the ironic thing is for me, as an agnostic, the people who got me away from being a Christian was not only Thomas Paine in his book, The Age of Reason, but many of the Jewish skeptics from the 1980s, and particularly an excellent book by Paul Kurtz called The Transcendental Temptation, where he basically goes through the Bible and explains it for what it is. You know, and in a sense, it makes sense that it was the Jews of the day who wanted Jesus put to death, because, in a sense, and why Jews today don't believe in Jesus, because they know what scam artists they are. But the Gentiles, fall for this, and they fall for a foreign religion that's not indigenous to Europe. And I really find in many of them, and you have the many of the Christians who try to explain that, oh yeah, well, Jesus wasn't really Jewish, and the Ashkenazis are separate from the Jews of ancient times, which some of that could be proved by genetic testing.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I think they reject the philosopher who was a people of our own and who brought us the truth. And that was Charles Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Darwinian theory and evolutionary theory really provides a better explanation of how the world works. It makes us more mature and responsible for our own destiny. And it also tacitly, if not implicitly, tells us that we should be white nationalists because, our genetic tribe is just an extension of the family. And so I believe Darwinism would, in Darwinian theory, basically would want whites to be national socialists.
Well, you're making a lot of important points. These are often difficult points to make. And if you have some time, we're coming up on another break shortly, but I'd like you to stay on. And we,
sure.
You sound like somebody who's given these issues a lot of thought, and we could have a serious discussion about them. I have said on the show before that I'm not particularly religious. That's the way I say it. I'm not particularly religious. I don't try to take people's religion away from them. I don't try to undermine other people's belief systems. And we can talk about later why I don't. It's very difficult. And I think for some people, Christianity has a good impact on them, on their lives, and for some people it doesn't. And I'm not ready to make a overall assessment on what it does to society. You might be. You raise very valid points. It's was not the religion of our ancestors more than 2,000 years ago. The religions of Europe were probably closer to what's in Hinduism. They probably have a similar root. Do we need religion? Is religion good for society or not? And, whether the belief system is based on something rational or true is one issue. Whether it is good for society is a completely different issue. And before we go into break, I'm just going to raise one more point. I used to study singing, and I'm not a very good singer, but my teacher would say, okay, now you've got to open up your head. No, you've got to project your voice through the back of your neck. She'd say these very strange things. But if I tried to do that, I would get a good result. Now, I wasn't opening up the top of my head, but I'd get a good result by doing something that I knew wasn't true. And so, religion, you might say, well, you're believing in something that's irrational and it's not true, and maybe that's the case, and yet if you get good results from it, and that's an if, then what? So let's talk about this after the break, if you can hang on.
Sure.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to National People Radio. Your host, Patrick Slattery, and I'm talking to Paul from New Jersey, and you've raised very important and interesting points. So I have questions for you. So given that Christianity is effectively an offshoot of Judaism, that our Christian Bible, that the New Testament didn't replace the Old Testament in our canon, it augments it, and the Old Testament's still there. Do you think Christianity is bad for the European people, Christianity in particular, or do you think religion is bad for people?
Well, I don't see how, you know, repeating untruths can ever be beneficial. However, I will admit that the, you know, looking at many Christian groups, you'll see in the United States among whites, the highest birth rate is going to be among the Amish and the Mormons.
Mm.
And for me, particularly the Mormons, if you've ever spent the time to look through the Mormon Bible, it's pretty much one of the most craziest and cockamamie things I've ever read.
Uh-huh.
And so, but again, like you said, the lies work for them. They get a good result. Their people are sober, hardworking, pretty wealthy, and, multiplying and populating the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So biologically, it's successful. But in my opinion, there's not a stitch of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to go shopping for religions across the world, which ultimately, you think of it, that's what Christians did. And in a sense, they only went to the closest foreign religion, in a mm-hmm. sense, because they didn't have contact with China at the time. And in my studies of religion, the ones that have been the most close to the truth to me have been the Taoists in China, and that predates Christianity by 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, since if we're going to go shopping around for foreign religions. But it's in a sense, it's tragic that despite there being the Enlightenment, you know, there's no really mass synthesis of the implications of Enlightenment philosophy at all. You know, not every, and by the way, we shouldn't expect it. You know, I mean, let's be honest, Patrick. How many, like, Nazi intellectuals like myself and yourself are there out there?
I don't know if I'm a Nazi intellectual, but I take your point.
Well, that's what you're going to be called no matter what.
It is what I'm going to be called. Well, I'll be called a Nazi. I don't even know if I'll be called an intellectual. Yeah.
Well, to me, you are. You seem like you're well-read and know your stuff.
Thank you. I'm not sure if that's a thank you or not, but okay. I appreciate the intended compliment.
Well, that's what I would argue. Any intellectual worth his salt, who's a white Gentile like ourselves, is going to end up like ourselves. And I find many of the pro-Christian detractors out there. And that's what's kind of tragic, I find, among many Christians, is often I know more about their Bible than they do. Mm. And secondly, they never read any critique, like I talked about Age of Reason by Thomas Paine. They don't go through the philosophical examination or critical examination of the Bible they hold in such esteem. And they basically, I find, and I came up with a saying that, you know, a Christian is, you know, the last refuge for failed philosophers.
Now, I don't know if this is really the best reference to go to, but there was a Twilight Zone show back in the day. One episode in which there was a little boy who had become famous as being, what would you call him, a prophet? He was able to predict the future. And so I can't remember the details. Maybe people who like horse racing were going after him, or the stock market. But he had gained kind of a following. And then one day he announced that on the next day there was going to be a new age coming, and war would end, and death would end, and everything was going to be great. And the people were so happy. The people were so happy. And then his mother or some other figure came to him and said, "Is it true? Is it true? Is that, you know, I don't think this is what's true. What is it?" And he said, "Have you know what a supernova is?" And the idea was that the sun the next day was going to explode. Now, and the point of the story was that if people knew that they had a unfortunate future ahead, rather than being happy and celebrating and loving each other, that they would just attack each other. So if a religion is based on complete fabrications, yet it keeps people behaviorally in check, and if a, you know, strictly biological Darwinian understanding of life, meaning that you're going to die and that's that, there are probably a lot of people in our society whose behavior is held in check by the thought that there's going to be a reward after death if they're good in this life, and punishment after death if they're bad in this life. And if you take that carrot and stick away from them, in this life they're going to behave badly. So is there a point in religion that way?
Well, yeah, to keep the children under control is one method. But I think just the threat of punishment or spanking should be good enough for most people. Mm-hmm. You know, and better, you know, punishment and spanking in this life, not in the afterlife.
Yeah. Now, you look at the Jewish religion where... you know, you probably have looked at it in more depth than I have. I have tried to look at it in depth. And, you know, Kevin McDonald says the God in the Hebrew Bible is a Jewish gene pool. It is kind of a self-worship. But this set of ideas that is in the Jewish tribal religion has, in many ways, served them very well. They've remained cohesive, and they've become very powerful in the earth. They have overplayed their hand from time to time and faced the consequences of it. But so you can look at religions in terms of their truth, but you can also look at religions or ideas in general, idea sets in general, as the same way you would look at genes in biology. So a gene that that has some attribute that causes some protein to be manufactured, and that facilitates the multiplication of that same gene. That's a successful gene, whether that is a gene that you know, causes some horrible disease or some you know, magnificent flower or humanity or whatever. And the same, you can look at ideas as the same way. Ideas can be self-propagating. And, you know, so you can look at, well, how well have the ideas of Judaism done? And have you ever tried looking at ideas and even religions in that Darwinian sense?
I've done some of that mental activity. And ironically, if you look at Jews as a group, it's the more atheistic Reform Jews who are the most financially successful, and the ones who are the most theistic are the most backwards and poorest.
Yet biologically successful, at least today.
Yeah, they have the larger families, true. And actually, that would probably be the more pure gene pool of them. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, that is subsidized, in a sense, by the Reform Zionists, you know, who contribute to Israel, in a sense, that's their, like, ethno-state, and that's their most purish gene pool, or pure gene pool.
Mm-hmm.
But the Reformed are still the wealthiest.
They're more modernist,
embrace modernism and modern sciences. And
they're the more intermarried.
And they're also, like I said, the most atheistic, because... Mm-hmm. You know, as Kevin McDonald points out, you know, it's a Gentile can never be a Jew to the rabbinate.
Mm-hmm.
But if a Jew is an atheist, it doesn't matter. They're still right. Jews.
Yeah, it doesn't matter under Israeli law. It doesn't matter in the synagogue. David Duke often points out that you'll have atheist Jews leading the reading of religious scriptures in synagogues.
Because it's all about racial purity. Yeah.
It's about racial purity.
And the irony is, too, you ever think of this irony, is that, in a sense, Nazism mimics Judaism, in a sense.
So how does it do that?
Well, for one, and I don't know if you're aware of this, there's this fellow, his name is Andrew Bart Schmuckler, and he wrote this book called The Parable of the Tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And in his book, he's an anthropologist, and what he said was very interesting. He says, you know, think of it in these terms. When you have two warring societies, one society gets a sword, the other one gets a sword. One gets a shield, the other one gets a shield. And one gets a helmet, the other gets a helmet. And as time goes on, it turns out they become very similar to each other. And it becomes that you become defined by your enemies, and they mimic each other. And so to me, Nazism, again, looking for racial purity, trying to promote a eugenics program, right, very ethnocentric, right, it mimics Judaism. It's ultimately Judaism for Gentiles. And that's why I'm an advocate of National Socialism. Because I realize we need a crash course among our people to promote eugenics and selecting for high IQ to combat the eugenics programs of Jews who dominate us, and that we have to work ethnocentrically to depose them as the dominant ethnic group.
Well, they're very dangerous as a dominant ethnic group. And you
right.
know, I didn't get to the position I'm in now. When I say position, I mean the ideas I have now. I didn't get to this because I looked around at my neighborhood and I resented the Chinese and I resented the Salvadorians and I didn't like them. Because actually I get along just fine with them. And that's not how I got here. I got here because I realized that they were being used as pawns by a Jewish power structure, which I was already aware of, and I was already alarmed at Jewish power. But I didn't understand that they were two things. I didn't understand that they were using these other ethnic groups to attack or to dilute the white gene pool and the white position in our society and other societies. And I also didn't understand the level of animosity that they feel towards Europeans, to white Europeans who they see as a rival. And
yeah,
that's so, I mean, my opposition to immigration is primarily because I see it as a tool of a Jewish power that is so dangerous for the entire world and could lead the entire world to destruction. But I do understand how other people would say, wait a minute, you know, this is a white country and we shouldn't be have our gene pool diluted by significant amounts of outside people. I can understand that as well. But that's not the direction. That's not where I came from to get here.
Yeah. Well, a part of my getting there was I read Mein Kampf when I was 25, and I empathized with Hitler's situation. And the other thing is, as for my views on migrants, to me it's just aesthetics. I just believe our women are prettier. And it's just like any other bird in nature. I prefer pretty birds over ugly birds. You know.
Well, you know, you share an opinion with Muhammad Ali there, don't you? Red birds with red birds and blue birds with blue birds.
Yeah, well, but the thing about it is, there, in my opinion, well, he didn't say it, but in my opinion, it's aesthetics. And Jefferson talks about that in his, Notes on Virginia, Query 14, where he talks about the beauty of the white race. And so to me, it's an aesthetic issue. And it's the beauty of European culture, the achievements, and the people ourselves, and preferring one over the other. You know, and you could also argue, like you see in some of the pro-Europa means about, you know, the diversity of Europeans, eye color, hair color, and the overall aesthetics. So to me, it's like, you know, you just look at European aesthetics, and they're having gone to Europe and traveled around and gone to the museums and all that. And I just think it's the high European culture is the greatest cultural achievement ever in the history of man. And what came during those days of, you know, the Enlightenment and the Mozart's box and the painters and everything, just European art was the greatest. And, by the way, very much respected and emulated by Asians, since they are the only ones basically, having the discipline to play violins and pianos. Or at least respecting our cultural achievements, or European cultural achievements.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, Paul, I really appreciate your call, and I hope you're going to call again. I have a couple more callers I want to get to before the show ends. But
all right, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, and please call again.
Yep.
Okay, next we'll go to David from San Francisco. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you? I didn't realize I was actually talking to a National Socialist. Those are Nazis, right?
Well, those weren't my words. I wasn't self-describing myself as that.
Okay. Well, I was interested in the idea. I heard the discussion going from the origins of Christianity from the Jews. And in my training, it gets into what I call the Song of the Slaves. Mm-hmm. That if you go by the story of the Old Testament, that the Pharaoh had a whole bunch of slaves that were being run to death. The idea that the only way you were going to get to heaven in a world like that was to be buried alive in a tomb with the aristocrats, let's say, and that's no way to live. So. Mm-hmm. Moses was smart enough to realize that he got to get out of there and create a better life for everybody involved. So when you start looking at the trap that we're in currently, the Christians, you know, Moses goes along, escapes, creates a life and culture, and after a point, there get to be merchants in the temple who take advantage of the situation, and anybody that's not Jewish has to be second to. It's as if to be a non-Jewish, you're not allowed to get to heaven. Jesus mm-hmm. comes along and says that's not true. Everybody is a child of God, and that so Christianity invites everybody in because everybody that's not Jewish is destined to be a slave. Well, that's not true. None of us are destined to be slaves. Christians, after a point, became developed merchants in the temple. So the Muslims came along, and they're a third aspect of the same God, Yahweh.
Yeah. Well, David, we're going to the break now, but thank you very much for your call, and I hope to hear from you again.
All right. Thanks.
And we'll be back after the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by...
this week because tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I have my last caller for the week. That is Murr from Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
As I said before on here, we keep confusing, or some of us do, religion with spirit. Are our bodies part of the medical system? Do they belong to a hospital or a doctor? Do our minds belong to the brainwashing and the propaganda? Does our wealth belong to this phony system of money, mammon? No. We're born individually. We choose in the spirit world to be here now, and to be thankful for everything. All the lessons that we learn. We can't change anyone else. We can only change our own selves and try to be a benefit for each other. Happiness has to come from inside or not at all. It shouldn't be in the declaration, pursuit of happiness. That should be rightfully property. We shouldn't be paying property taxes. This is how they will take the land out from under us.
Wasn't the original wording life, liberty, and the pursuit of property?
Life, liberty, and property, yeah. I don't think it was pursuit. Pursuit of happiness got sucked in there. I think it was John Locke that Jefferson was copying there with the property.
Was that it? So did Jefferson, in the Declaration of Independence, right, wrote life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but he was basically copying off of perhaps John Locke, who had said life, liberty, and property. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it was to be property, but it was changed because, well, several reasons, you know, a little too long to go into here at that time and place. But trying to determine Darwinism as a religion, that is an op. That is an operation, another propaganda operation.
Well, I don't know about it as a religion, but...
Well, that's what Paul said, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But we're co-creators. We can see things change when we want them to. We love each other and we love everything around us. I mean, look at how a pet or a plant responds to you when you bestow love and gratitude on it, even and especially without even any words, just thinking it. I mean, look at Masaru Emoto and his love and gratitude focused on water and what happened. And what happens when you play some satanic rock and what happens to the water then. Okay? This is how we bring heaven to earth. We change it, each one of us, individually with each choice we make. We either enjoy the consequences of our choices or we suffer the consequences of them. It's not about spanking someone into submission. Maybe when you're young, you learn from some ways that are a little more harsh because they're the formative years. How do you want them to be formed? You'll notice that most people in power had poor childhoods. You know, fear of abandonment, fear of all kinds of things, mommy issues. You know, I mean, mommy things in the 80s, they found, were the only thing that was good for subliminals in ads. I'm thinking of 2012 in particular, Mitt Romney. Santorum dropped out because he was afraid of the subliminals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for Gingrich, they had Rapes Mommy, okay? I mean, this is proven. It's been scrubbed, but they use subliminals all the time. They used a picture of Babs over George's head because they wanted the Spanish vote, too.
Yeah. Well, we are at the end of our hour. But thank you for your call, Murr, and your
wisdom. Thank you.
Your,
I'm putting links in your chat room.
Yes, chat room. It's Chatango. It is National Bugle Radio at .chatango.
Yeah, there's a very good work by Mark Elsis about Hitler. And that was Christian Germany. I mean, Rosenthal brags about that. You know, they had hope that when they destroyed Christian Germany, which both world wars were for, the Jews.
Well, we'll talk again next week. In the meantime, go to nationalbugle.com and you can find Chatango there and you can find all sorts of news there. Thank you. Bye.
Some Happy companies thing. Take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.